Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Man, I love cold coffee.
What's better than cold coffee?
Nothing! I love coffee in any form.
You know, I'm not much of a coffee drinker myself. I'm more of a green tea drinker, as anyone who knows me will know.
I'm a coffee achiever.
Wow. And what have you achieved with this caffeinated beverage lately?
I've left a couple of tall buildings.
Wow.
In a single bound?
Yeah. Well, that's very good. Well, it seems... You know, I hate to say those words, we're back.
We are back.
We're doing another show.
By popular demand.
Or unpopular demand. We're not quite sure which yet.
Yeah. And if you've got any demands, please make them. We haven't got much feedback this week, but that's fine. We know people are busy. But we'd love to hear from you. You know, if you like the show, tell us. If you hate the show, tell us. We just like email.
Yeah. And if you'd like to hear your voice on our show, perhaps you want to create some feedback and send us an MP3 yelling at us or making a suggestion, drop us an email and attach that MP3 to it, and we'll play it on the air, as it were. Which,
yeah.
Not really on the air. We'll...
Yeah, you have a better chance of getting your feedback either played or mentioned if you've got some audio. That'd be great.
I think it's pretty much a fact that we would play the first one we got, no matter what it was, just that's because right. You'd be the first one who sent us audio feedback. So
yeah, it's kind of like
go for it.
In radio where you've got this is the fourth caller. You'll be the first MP3-er.
Or every small business in the world has that dollar bill in the in the frame.
That's right. Yeah, we want our first $100 bill. So, what's been going on this week?
Oh, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
What about with you? What's been going on with you? What about your backyard adventures? Why don't you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I was clearing some brush, George Bush's favorite activity. I was clearing some brush in my backyard, much needed brush clearing. And
yes, I've seen their yard.
Yeah, we needed to clear some brush. So, I'm cleaning up and... In the middle of my yard is this innocuous-looking pile of leaves. And I'm picking up some sticks and these little pieces of wood blocks that were there. My kids made a pile of wood blocks. And next thing I know, I'm engulfed in Yellow Jackets. Not the
musicians. The band.
No.
Not the jazz band, because that would be a good thing.
No, there were these insects, these flying beasts. They're Satan's spawn coming after me. One stung me in my shoulder, right through my shirt. Good thing I was wearing gloves. I had a hat on and everything, and they were all over me. So I started running like a girl.
You little girly man.
And I swat, and you know, I read this later, but they say, don't make any wild gestures. That's not what I did. I was running and screaming at the same time and swatting. And, these things are just insane. They aggressively were defending their nest, which I guess I found out there's a nest in the middle of my yard. They're underground. Yellow jackets like to dig holes and make nests underground.
Yeah, they're what's the word I want to use? Nasty little buggers, aren't they?
Evil.
I haven't been stung by a stinging insect since, I'm going to give away my age here, but the 1970s, I think, was John and I were both talking about this. I actually, well, I'm not going to tell you what I did, but I got stung by some sort of bee or something. And fortunately, I don't think I have any allergies to that, or I think you don't either. So
no,
there was no anaphylactic reaction. You didn't have to jam that EpiPen into your thigh or anything.
No, but it's crazy. It got me once. I think it got me once. I mean, the one thing about these yellow jackets is that they're not bees. They're you may not have known this. I didn't know it. They're not related to bees in the way that I thought they were.
They're not even like cousins?
They're not. Well, they fly and they sting and they're evil.
Cousins-in-law?
No.
Okay.
They can sting multiple times and they also bite. They're so angry and mean. They bite. They bite and sting, and they can sting all sorts of times.
So it's like a mud wrestling match, really.
They're and they had me on the ground. They had my arm behind my back.
Did they pin you?
They pinned me.
Was there a three count?
No, it wasn't fun, but I got stung in the shoulder, and it feels like someone smacked me with a baseball bat there, and the skin's all not feeling good. It's like a sunburn.
Well, but, I think you'll heal.
Yeah, but...
the human body is a remarkable self-righting machine.
Yeah. My yard isn't, though. No. So, and the funny thing is, I was looking online, how to get rid of these things, and... there is some crazy home remedy type things out there for getting rid of them. One site was saying that I should take a wheelbarrow full of ice, dump it on top of it, dump it on top of the nest, and run. And then the next thing, and this all has to be done at night while they're a little bit less mobile and a little groggy. I don't know if they sleep, but you dump a whole wheelbarrow full of ice on top of them, and then you put a huge tarp on top of the ice. You put bricks on top of it. Some even say put dirt on top of it. Put bricks on top of it.
I have a better idea. Just put a keg instead on the ice.
Yeah. You can bypass the ice. Just take a nice cold keg and put it on top of it.
Exactly.
No, but and then they say that the next day when the sun beats down, it'll bake them all. I don't think so. Another one, this is my favorite, where they say take some overly ripe fruit, put it right in the center, and if you live in an area where there are skunks and raccoons, they say that a skunk or a raccoon will come, eat the fruit, and then start digging on the ground, and it'll excavate it for you.
And that sounds like a dead skunk after you really make the yellow jackets angry. I don't know.
No, yeah, and they say that there's something like 5,000 in the typical nest underground, and I'm not unleashing 5,000 of these things.
No, you'd get kicked out of your neighborhood. Your neighbors would be really angry about that.
Yeah.
Well, that's an adventure.
Yeah. I'm going to go for the chemical treatment. I'm going to find some nasty pesticides and dump it in there. Gallons worth.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've got a family and you've got a pet, and I certainly wouldn't want to see any of them stung because they're nasty little buggers.
No.
Nasty. Wouldn't be prudent.
So we're going from, George Bush, clearing brush. we're going from yellow jackets to yellow jerseys. Mr. Segway.
John is Mr. Segway, and this will be our last Tour de France update for the year 2005, because today was the last day of the Tour de France. Lance Armstrong prevailed in the Tour.
He's a god of cycling.
He's pretty darn good. That's seven in a row, for those who don't know, and nobody has ever done seven in a row. No one has ever done six in a row. The most tours won by any single person, I guess that's a weird way to put it, isn't it? Four people had won five times, and then Lance came along and won a sixth and a seventh all in a row, and he won in pretty powerful fashion. The second place rider was Ivan Basso from Italy, 4 minutes and 40 seconds behind, and once again not winning, but being second or third to Lance Armstrong was Jan Ulrich from Germany, who was third in the Tour at 6 minutes, 21 seconds behind Lance's pace. And that guy, what a talent, but he's won once in 1997, but man, he's coming second or third to Lance all the time. He must really be sick of that by now.
Yeah, always a bridesmaid.
Yeah. And the really pleasant surprise this year was how many Americans were in the top 10. Cycling, back in the 80s when Greg LeMond, the first American to ever win the Tour de France, he won three, by the way, when Greg LeMond was like Athlete of the Year on Tour de France in 1986 or 1989, Sports Illustrated, you know, people were laughing. Come on, anybody can ride a bike.
Yeah.
Well, they have no idea how grueling this event is.
It's thousands of miles. It's not just 100 miles.
Yeah, it's over 2,000 miles. Over 19 or 20 days, you know, each stage is over 100 miles every day. And on some mountain stages, they climb six mountain passes in the course of 120 miles. I mean, that's just ungodly grueling. I mean, I can't even imagine. I'm a cyclist. I ride, you know, four or five times a week, and I ride the hills around my house, and it's just brutal on me. So I can't imagine what an alpine or a Pyrenean climb must be like, you know?
Yeah, and the heat.
I don't think this tour was as brutal as it has been. I think this was a pretty mild tour by heat standards. But as I said, the three Americans in the top 10, I mean, that's unheard of, when considering people were making fun of Greg LeMond in the 80s for being on Sports Illustrated. Now we've gone from being an upstart country that doesn't do well at cycling to producing three top 10 three top 10 riders. And I'll go down the whole top 10 for you, I guess. After Jan Ulrich in fourth was Francisco Mancebo from Spain. Number fifth was Alexander Vinokourov from Kazakhstan. Number six, with an unusual name, yet he's an American, Levi Leipheimer. Number 7, Michael Rasmussen from Denmark. Number 8, and I don't have any idea how to pronounce his first name, Cadell Evans.
Cattle.
Number 9, Floyd Landis, a former teammate of Lance's, now riding for the Phonak team. He's also an American. He was number 9. And number 10, Oscar Pereiro, also from Spain. So it was a good tour.
Yeah, it's good to see the Americans or the U.S. athletes competing in international events. I'd like to see him kick some butt in soccer, too.
Yeah, well, our World Cup soccer teams are doing pretty well. One last bit of news on this tour. It's always nice when the guy who actually wins the tour wins a couple of the stages. And Lance, they won the team time trial stage, which is a team effort. But he did win Saturday's individual time trial in a dominating fashion. And once again, Jan Ulrich came in second. So, you know, the one disappointment I have, and I know this is going to sound like I'm some sort of spoiled, always has to win brat, but the one disappointment
Aren't
I have,
you?
Most of the time, the one disappointment I have is Lance's performance in the Olympics. You know, I really expected him to, like, be a gold medalist in the time trial, and the best he ever did was bronze. One of his teammates won the gold in Australia when it was in Australia. But
well, he's a tour specialist, and I think he even admits to that.
Well, he's also the best time trialist in the world, and you know, it would have been cool to see him. He got a bronze. You can't complain. He medaled, but it would have been cool to see him get a gold in one of the Olympics. And he didn't even ride in the last summers. He just declined. He just said, "I'd rather be with my kids or something." And which is
crazy.
Fine. What a nutcase! Holy cow!
Well, I think he said that's one of the reasons why he's retiring is he wants to be with his kids. I think in Sports Illustrated this past issue. He even said something to the effect that he sees kids on the side when he's riding up these mountain stages, and he wants to be the father next to the kid taking pictures of the cyclist. He doesn't want to be the guy on the bike while his kids are watching.
Well, good for him. He's retiring on top. I think we can honestly say the era, wait a minute, that's money. The era of Lance has ended because he has officially retired. This was his last professional race. Now he moves on to being a father and a good ex-husband and whatever else he is to that rock singer woman whose name I can't remember. What is her name?
Sheryl Crow,
and being a good boyfriend or whatever it is you call your significant other when you're in your 30s and you don't want to sound like a teenager, your girlfriend and boyfriend, I don't know. My friend Lisa and I were wondering what you call, because she's in her 40s, so what do you call your partner, you know, that doesn't sound like you're an 18-year-old or a 16-year-old?
Boy toy.
Well, I'll mention that to her and see what she says. Did I have something else to say about the tour? Not at all. But Lance is moving on to the bigger and better things. You know, the Lance Armstrong Foundation, www.laf.org. They do, you know, cancer patient advocacy, and they raise money, like this little yellow bracelet I'm wearing right now that says Live Strong. They raise money for the foundation and for cancer research. And so he's moving on to hopefully bigger and better things. And with his fame, he can certainly wield a lot of fundraising power for cancer and other diseases, and hopefully he'll do a lot of that.
Yeah, and I hope he stays out of cycling.
What do you mean?
Not stays out of cycling as in stays away from the sport.
Unretires in a year?
Yeah, I can't stand it when athletes say, I'm retiring, and I'm retiring on top, and then they come back and come back and then come back. I mean, Michael Jordan, not that I'm a huge basketball fan, but it was great to see him retire at the top of his game. And then
he came back
and then was great.
Okay.
Then he tried baseball.
That was before his retirement.
Yeah, and then he came back again, and then came back again, and then it was pathetic.
Well, there are two things I would like to see Lance do. I would like to see him try another Olympics. You know, fine, maybe he won't do another professional road race, but since he's not professional, the Olympics are all amateur, right? Or at least they used to be.
Well, they're supposed
so
to be.
I'd like to see him train for the time trial. And the other event, which for me is a really interesting event, is this record called the Hour Record. You get on a velodrome, you ride as hard as you can for an hour, and then they see how many kilometers or miles you went. And I know Lance would really rock that race if he were fit and training for it. I think he could easily hold the world's record for that. So I'd like to see him just get on a velodrome, train for a couple of months this fall, and just hammer that record out, because I don't know, why not?
Yeah, it's kind of like the human equivalent to those endurance races like 24-hour Sebring.
Yeah, exactly, except maybe they should put an engine on his bike. He'd definitely win it then.
They should put engines on the competitors' bikes.
He doesn't need an engine. So, I guess we're done with the Tour de France update.
Yeah, we got some tunes.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're going to play some music. Excellent. I love music.
Yeah,
Tell me about these guys.
This is from the PodSafeMusicNetwork.com, a group of guys affiliated with Podshow.com. They're putting together music that is completely cleared for podcasting. So it's all pod-safe music. You don't have to do anything, no signing of releases, and you don't have to pay royalties just to play it on the shows. You just have to mention who they are.
Who are they?
This is Dr. Flexitone from Holland.
Wow.
It's Dutch funk.
No way.
Dig it.
I didn't know they did the funk thing.
Yeah.
Not what I was expecting. Kind of had an emo vibe to it, a little more than funk, but I think the next one's funkier.
Yeah, the next one is definitely funkier, but yeah, I think that the Dutch language and this kind of music goes really well together.
Well, it's interesting. It had a guttural German vibe to it. I have a Dutch friend, actually. Our theme song, which of course is Jeremy Shaw, who I had lunch with, by the way, on Monday. I know we mentioned him on the last show, so we won't be getting him on the show since he flew back to Charlotte earlier than I thought he was gonna. But the drummer who's actually playing on our theme music is Dutch, Mark Rodham, a wonderful jazz musician, and he could translate for us. So maybe I'll ask him about that in the future.
Yeah, the title of that song was Varna May. I'm probably butchering that one.
I have no idea what that means. But I'll ask Mark. I'll email him.
Potato salad?
It might. It could. Well, I saw an interesting film on Friday. I think I mentioned this on one of the prior episodes, but I go to the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute pretty much every Friday because I have no social life. And they show a lot of interesting independent films and smaller films that you aren't going to see in the megaplexes, which is definitely what I said on one of the shows. And I've been meaning to talk about a couple of those films because there's always a surprise involved. I mean, I very rarely read the reviews in advance. I usually just go. I usually don't even pay attention to what film is actually playing. I just show up and I'm usually surprised. And it's usually a pleasant surprise. And occasionally there's a bomb and I feel like I've been violated and I want my money back. But that's only happened once or twice.
Do you ask for your money back?
No, I wouldn't do that. It's all going to a good cause. Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute. Wait for it. Wait, he's opening. He's decanting wine.
Wait for it.
The bottle was beating him. He was struggling with that one.
Yeah, while Rich continues to review this movie. This is the Glenora 2003 Pinot Noir.
An excellent choice, I think. I was cringing when he said that.
I was going to say something else.
But he didn't, thankfully.
This is another one of those bottles that I picked up on my trip to the Finger Lakes.
So this film is called Brothers. It's a 2005 Danish film directed by Susan Bier. And it was an interesting film because it scared me, and it didn't scare me because there were a few scenes of violence in it. They didn't really show anything particularly violent, but they certainly hinted at it. And what disturbed me, I guess, is a better word about this film, is that it's amazing what humankind is capable of doing when they're really scared and they're afraid for their life. You know, they're willing to do almost anything to survive. And there was a point in this film where one of the main characters had to do something horrific and ghoulish, and murder is what he had to do to survive. He was a major in the Danish army, and he was deployed to Afghanistan, and his aircraft was shot down with some other people, and he was in an Afghani prison camp, and to save his own life, he ultimately had to kill a fellow Dane to survive. And, you know, a lot of people probably sit around and imagine that they would never do anything like that because they're morally better than that or something. But I mean, you know, when you're thrust into extraordinary circumstances like that, we're all probably capable of doing extraordinarily frightening things to stay alive. So it was a very interesting film. It's one I really recommend. I mean, the story is very strong, and that the subplot, there are other plots involved too, but the main thrust of the story is what's going on there. And it's definitely something I'd recommend. The whole time I was watching the film, the main lead actress in the film, I kept going, wow, who is this woman? I know I've seen her somewhere before. And it just didn't dawn on me where I'd seen her. So I got home and I went to the Internet Movie Database, which is a great resource for all of you movie fans out there.
When it's up and running.
Apparently it's not running today. What is it? www.imdb.com?
That's correct.
So I went and I looked this film up, Brothers. And the woman was played by Connie Nielsen. And that name loosely rang a bell with me. And then I looked down on her.
Leslie Nielsen?
No, that's her cousin-in-law. And I went down her filmography, and I noticed that she was in Gladiator and One Hour Photo. Gladiator, of course, the big Russell Crowe Roman action thriller, which is a very good film, by the way. And she played Lucilla, the daughter to the Caesar, a very lovely woman. And she was also the wife of the family that Robin Williams was stalking in One Hour Photo. So I knew I'd seen her somewhere before. And there you go. But anyway, I have opportunity to see a lot of interesting independent films, and I just like to recommend a few more. I would definitely rent Brothers if I were you. I thought it was very powerful. But two of the films that really warmed my heart, touched my heart, and really struck me as being really wonderful films. One film was called The Station Agent, which is an American indie film. Station Agent. And the other film is a German film called Goodbye Lenin. It's a German language film, and you'll have to see it subtitled, but that's another amazing, amazing piece of work. And I think you'll enjoy them both. And if you don't, email us. Tell us if you hated them. Tell us why. How's that wine, John?
Yeah, check it out. I'm not too crazy about it.
You're not thrilled with it?
No.
No, it looks almost blush through the light.
It's very, very pale. I'm used to the heavier wines like the Cabernet.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite is the Australian Shiraz.
The Syrah?
Shiraz. Well, in Australia, they call it a Shiraz.
Right. There's a doggy barking.
Sam is protecting the household.
Good for him. Maybe he saw a wasp or something, or some large stinging insect knocking at the door with a note that said plumber or something on him.
It's like Landshark.
Landshark. So what do we have next?
Yeah, we got some more tunes, and you know, we got this crazy tie-in again. We've got Dutch films and
Danish.
More.
No, Danish film, actually. It was not Dutch.
Oh, Danish. Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Well,
Denmark.
Danish film, Dutch funk.
Holland, Denmark. They are two different countries. I wasn't going to say the same thing. How rude would that have been?
I'm an ugly American. I don't care. So here we go with, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce this track, but it's more Dr. Flexitone.
Deze eeuwige route, steeds om 7:09, als een diesellok. Komt beweging in mijn benen, los liggende klikkers. Ik weet precies hoe ik ga lopen, de gordijnen van 11 zijn open. Het is al licht, ik ben alweer buiten. Het is ik, alleen voor de duiten. Daar zal ik nog een studentje over straat. Ben ik vroeg, hoe ben jij nu zo laat? En nog een klein tochtje naar het station. Dan sta ik daar met al die mensen op het perron. Allen in de banden van de grote en de kleine wijzer. Kijk je nog zo lang, je wordt niet per seconde wijzer. Ik ga op in de kudde makken lammetjes. Wachtend op de slagbank met mijn vest gesmeerde bammetjes.
Shit! Ik moet werken voor de boel. Shit! Shit! Ik moet werken voor de boel. Werken voor de poen. Shit. Mag ik al met pensioen? Shit. Ik moet werken voor de poen. Shit. Mag ik al met pensioen?
Vorming bij het koffieapparaat. Niet zeggen te pakken, met nog mindere praten. Het weer is beroerd, ook al is het best oké. Om mee te kunnen komen, kijk ik, de tv-praatzucht heerst. Alom op mijn kantoor, uit angst voor. Stilte zwam mijn hele dagen door over het uitstapje van het vorige jaar. Het mailen van die verschrikkelijk melige, irritante filmpjes naar elkaar. Want dat vinden ze gezellig. Dag in, dag uit, koste wat het kost. Blijven de vragen die toedoen onopgelost. Alleen voor de knaken, alleen voor de knaken. Gaat de dag een rook op en schil ik van de daken.
Shit, ik moet werken voor de poen. Shit. Shit, ik moet werken voor de poen. Shit. Ik moet werken voor de poen. Shit. Mag ik al met pensioen?
Those guys were laying it down there. I just have one thing to say after hearing that track. Anthony Kiedis, eat your heart out. Yeah. Those guys were grooving like maniacs.
Like that breakdown at the end.
You know, I have a few technical things to say about these two songs from a recording aspect. I really like the way these sound. The drums sounded great. Really snappy kick drum. Really nice ring to the snare, but real crisp. Really well executed recording. So kudos to whoever engineered that record. I think he did a damn good job.
Yeah, these guys rock.
Yeah, I thought they were pretty good. We have more stuff to talk about. We're actually approaching 29 minutes and 30 seconds, ding, 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 right now. But we're gonna go over. We're going to see if the network will give us a little more time and see if we can't go
Wait
over.
Wait a minute. Let's check. Yeah, they're giving it to us.
They gave you the okay, the green light on that. Excellent.
Yeah. Here's our news section. We got some news. We need a little one of those things.
Play something. Oh. What do you got? Play the trumpets.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
That didn't work that well. What about Reveille? No.
Cuckoo?
Nah, we need to get something out. I'm not going to bore people with sound effects.
All right, well, we need to find some more sound effects, so I'm going to begin my search for some more high-quality sound effects, and we'll worry about that then.
Yeah, continuation of our last theme on free speech.
Shut up.
Yeah. There's this town in upstate New York, up in the Adirondacks, called Essex, New York.
Really close to us, actually.
Yeah.
We're just outside of Syracuse, south of there.
Yeah, this place is near Lake Placid, Plattsburgh.
Some of you might remember Lake Placid from the 1980 Winter Olympic Games, the Miracle on Ice.
Yeah. Well, this town, Essex, New York, they used to have an ordinance on the books that prevented people from putting political lawn signs up.
That sounds
dangerously
unconstitutional.
Yeah. They only were allowed to have these signs up 30 days before an event or an election. Well, federal judge struck that down.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
People were actually fined. This wasn't just a law on the books that wasn't being executed. This is a law on the books that was being executed regularly. But, it's good to hear that the Constitution works and the court system works.
Sometimes. Boy, I could go on about where it's not working, but let's look at some of these other headlines.
Yeah. Crazy stuff going on because of the London bombings. There was a guy who seemed to be a terrorist or doing some sort of weird terrorist activities like jumping turnstiles.
I hate that word. It's overused. Let's avoid it when we can.
Well, I mean, I understand that the police in London are probably a little bit touchy. All sorts of explosions going on in the tube. Well, looks like they got a little bit of trigger finger going. Well, they shot a guy who was jumping a turnstile. At least that's the story. I'm not too sure about it. And I'm going to be putting links to these articles, by the way.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. The London police, they shot and killed a guy who was apparently doing some strange things, like trying to get onto the tracks too early.
That's just nuts.
Yeah. As it turns out, he wasn't a terrorist. He wasn't even affiliated with terrorists. He was just a guy who was in a rush, a Brazilian native, and that's it. He was shot and killed. His family was upset.
I mean, this happens in the U.S. all the time. Not that I can cite a particular example right now, but I remember a few years ago, and this is a particular example, but I don't remember exactly what year it is and what the guy's name was. But, I mean, it was somewhere close to the White House, right? There was a guy, he was like a homeless guy, and he was complaining about something. Maybe the fact that, you know, he hadn't eaten in 3 days and he wanted a clean underwear or something. I don't know. But he was making some sort of protest near to the White House, of course, in Washington, D.C.,
and, yeah, well, when I lived down there before 9/11 and before all sorts of strange threats to the White House, you could just drive right in front of the White House on Pennsylvania Ave.
And they blocked that off now.
Yeah, it's all blocked off. But there's a lot of people who just hang out there and protest, which is fine, which is good.
Yeah, well, this guy, you know, apparently had I don't know how – if he had made threats. I don't know. But ultimately, he reached for his wallet and they, like, three different cops shot him. I think Pete, cops are trigger happy. Maybe I should call them policemen and show a little more respect, but I think police are trigger happy. I didn't, you know, the guy's reaching for his wallet. If he had actually produced a weapon at that point, you know, maybe you shoot the guy to disable him or something, but, you know, shooting to kill because he reached for something when you don't know what it is. I think cops, police, I'm sorry, are overreacting, and I think people are looking the other way. You know, I think Americans, and I can't speak for other countries, but I think American citizens have been trained to believe that everybody's bad, everybody's evil, and there's a terrorist lurking around every corner. And there's not. There simply isn't. This was just a homeless guy who wanted to eat.
No, but we also have to give them the benefit of the doubt. We don't know what was going through their minds. We don't know what the circumstances were, but we do know that they jumped the gun. I mean,
that's a really bad pun.
hindsight is always 20/20. I mean, I'm going to throw out a whole bunch more cliches. But
what about training?
No, absolutely. And this is what I was getting to. We don't know what's going through their mind, but they're not prepared. They're out there and they're nervous and they're trigger happy and someone goes and reaches for their wallet. They should be trained to look for signs, look at the situation, say, what are all of the other signs leading up to this? Is this just some guy who's deranged? Is it some guy who's actually looking like a real quote unquote terrorist? No, what does that word even mean?
Terrorist, you know? I have real issues with the use of the word terrorist. And boy, I could go on for 20 minutes about this, but right now I see the word terrorist being used as an excuse to label people and then be given carte blanche to treat them any way you want, you know? Yeah. Guess what? We live in a free country. Well, relatively free, except for the Patriot Act and a bunch of other horrific laws.
Yeah, we're
going to
say that for another show because the Patriot Act just got reinstated or renewed.
Worse. Yeah, no, they added to it. But let me finish my thought on terrorists, you know? I mean, there are, you know, how do I want to express this? It's really easy for our leaders to get what they want, for example, by saying, well, this country is harboring terrorists. Well,
sure.
Did they provide enough proof?
It's hyperbole and it's rhetoric. That's what it is.
And I mean, for example, if our leadership wanted to invade, pick a country.
Spain.
Okay.
France.
They could claim they were harboring terrorists, and the U.S. public is just going to believe it because, of course, our government wouldn't lie to us, John. They wouldn't do something because they wanted to, even if they didn't have good reasons, would they?
No,
they wouldn't do that.
The other thing they would do is say, we need to clear some brush over in France.
I don't know what that means. But I mean, I have really issues with the use of the word terrorist because, you know, the 20th century is littered with leaders who assigned words to groups of people and then was allowed to treat them badly. Mm-hmm. And I think it needs to stop.
Yeah, it does.
And I'm not going to go any farther than that. You can use your imagination.
No, what we're going to do is we're probably going to pick a topic in an upcoming episode and we'll just expound on it. But for now, we're running late, and I'm just going to run through the rest of these news stories.
There's more?
Yeah,
there's more?
Yeah, but wait, there's
more. Have you looked at the clock?
Yeah. They didn't say what the extension was.
That's right. Yeah. Hopefully we got 10 minutes. We'll be fine.
Yeah. And this actually ties into the last couple of stories.
Ooh. This is like...
Yeah, this is
Buck
crazy.
Rogers.
This is craziness. This is coming from thenewscientist.com. But this story has been reported in multiple sources, AP and Yahoo and so on.
Yahoo!
The U.S. has been testing microwave weapons for crowd control. And this isn't science fiction, and this isn't just nonsense that I'm spewing, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I hate that phrase, too.
Yeah. Well, my phraseology is induced by wine.
Is that a word?
Anyways, this is a weapon or a crowd control device. They're calling it a non-lethal or less lethal weapon. They're putting this together for crowd control. And they're saying that this is going to be used probably in Iraq, places like Iraq or Afghanistan, places where they don't want to kill the people, but they just want to keep those crowds in control. Essentially, what the weapon does is it fires out microwaves. It's kind of like a microwave oven without a door.
Well, it's great because if you have your lunch with you, it'll be warm. I mean,
but my favorite part about this article is they're saying that in these controlled tests, they made sure that the people being tested and the scientists were tested themselves. You know?
Science.
Yeah, the scientists were testing this on themselves. And they made sure that they were playing the part of rioters.
Or a terrorist.
Yeah, or terrorists. And they made sure that they didn't have any metal zippers or buckles or anything because they didn't want to create any hot spots. Because we know that rioters, they generally go around wearing plastic bags.
They never have metal on.
And
or
none
braces.
None of them wear braces.
Right. Or glasses.
Yeah.
Or watches.
And they said that what this does is essentially within 15 or 10 or 15 seconds, it heats up the skin and causes extreme pain. So they go running. Well,
I wonder if it's like a wasp sting.
Man, I hope not. But man, this is crazy because all it takes is for someone to turn this on someone with loose change in their pocket and they're going to burst into flames. This is really nuts. How could you produce a weapon that's so irresponsible like this? Whatever happened to just using a plain old hose? You know, fire hose.
Riot control. Oh, a fire hose, rubber bullets. I'm a little unclear
on
those,
too. I'm not happy with rubber bullets either. I mean,
but I've
because
heard
you
about
can
those.
You can get killed with rubber bullets just as well as you can kill with a microwave beam.
Yeah, this is like Buck Rogers. Yeah. This is
tear gas is actually more humane because it causes irritation, pepper spray, anything like that. If you want to keep the crowd in control, fine. Use something that truly is non-lethal. But this could be lethal.
Yeah, this just sounds kind of nutty to me. It's like science research gone mad. Well, we can develop this weapon. Why not?
Yeah,
sure. Let's just do it.
This really, I mean, that's really what I'm getting at here is these people developed it because they could, not because there was any real need for it.
Well, they have funding, so yeah. Why not? All those MIT guys, you know, they're just going crazy with the microwave gun.
Yeah. Well, speaking of funding, here I am, Mr. Segway. The U.S. House has endorsed NASA mission to Moon and Mars.
Wow.
Yeah. Looks like we've got some funding. There was some argument or some debate, however you want to put it, on the House or on the Hill, and a bill passed, 383 to 15.
That's huge.
Yeah, they say after some collegial debate, I bet there was some, hey, Buck.
What Buck do you think Rogers of, yeah, was there?
What do you think about this? Well, I think this is a good idea. I don't think this is a, no, I think they were probably arguing about it for quite some time. They were going to be removing $1.3 billion in funds from NASA for exploration and other programs like moon missions and Mars missions, but it got reinstated. So now the budget is at $34.7 billion.
That's a big number.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
We could buy a lot of wine with that.
At least 7 or 8 bottles.
Well, you know, I have very strong feelings about space exploration. You know, I'm a bit of a geek. I'm a bit of a space geek. My dad, I grew up with my father working for the Bendix Corporation, which is a big aerospace contractor. And they actually built stuff where my dad worked in the 1960s and 70s that went to the moon. They built stuff that went on the Apollo missions, you know?
Groovy.
Yeah. So I, you know, he would always come home regaling us with stories about space exploration, and being a science guy and a geek, I sort of was into it, but I'm hesitant. When I hear George Bush and his initial plan, which he announced like 4 months ago or so, was to have a more aggressive plan to go to the moon and Mars. And when I hear him saying this, I'm a little leery. You know, this, I love the idea of going to the moon and Mars and elsewhere, you know, but,
I haven't looked at the bill, but I hope there's no strings attached to that money.
Well, I see, geez, I hate to sound negative and I hate to sound like a pessimist, but I really see, you know, this as some sort of militarization of space. And then like, you know, we'll throw a couple of bones to the guys who actually want to, you know, land a rover on the moon or Mars again or something.
I mean,
I want a
laser beam coming off the moon myself.
Well, that's something else.
That's our goal.
Yeah, that's the giant orbiting space laser. And then there's only 3 people in the world who know about that. You, me, and a friend from Florida. Hi, Liz. By the way, are you drinking your glass of wine with us? Because you said you might do that. But, you know, whenever I hear this kind of thing, and it seems clear to me that every word that comes out of George Bush's mouth is a lie. Oh, my God, I've alienated everyone. We're going to lose all of our listeners.
Is it when a lie when you believe it?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, when I hear him talking about this, I just see this, this gigantic, like, pall of negativity overcomes me. And I just see this as some way to get his corporate friends rich and a way to militarize space. And I don't want to militarize space. You know, I really don't. If we're going science for the sake of science, I'm all about that. But, you know, the whole militarization thing, I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah, but I didn't get that out of the story. I really didn't get that out of the story, but, you know, it's not an unfounded fear.
No, I don't think it is. You got any more headlines today?
No, I think that's it.
No, we're done. Wow.
Yeah, we're really long.
Holy cats, Batman. We are approaching 45 minutes, and they're really going to pull the plug on us at any time now. There's a Gelman is over there waving at us and doing the whole cutthroat thing right now.
Science!
Nope, so we will be back. Actually, I don't know if we're going to be back in a week, but hopefully we won't be able to record on Sunday, but hopefully we'll be able to do it Monday or Tuesday like we did one other time. But we will not disappoint you. We will be back.
No, our goal is to disappoint.
Our goal is to anger the world and disappoint everyone.
Yeah, so I'm gonna cork this Pinot Neuer because it's not so great.
Yeah, it's a little bit more blush than I like. Yeah. And
we're going to put a cork in this show.
Do it.
So that's it.
Dive. That's a dumb joke. I've used that way too many times now. I'm pretty sure the joke police are going to descend upon your house and handcuff us both at any minute.
Yeah, as long as they can keep those signs on my front lawn.
That's right. The political signs declaring world peace, for example. Horrible. Horrific.
Yeah.
Scandalous.
That's it. We are the Bloodthirsty Vegetarians.
Yep. Visit our website, www.bloodyveg.com.
And if you want to get in touch with us, send us feedback@bloodyveg.com.
Yeah, we also have stories at bloodyveg.com. Music? Tunes at bloodyveg.com. We're going to have another one, because I'm going to make a suggestion to John once we go go off the air here. But remember, you're listening to VIB.